Hello and welcome to another edition of the Northern Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Hessel. Today, we don't have any guests in the show. I am actually driving back from my trip out east. I went to Milwaukee first on Sunday for a Brewers game with my roommate and one of my other roommates. That was a great game. Unfortunately, the Brewers lost in the 11th inning, but they broke our hearts. But they were able to come back and made it a fun game to watch. Quite a few home runs were hit. And then I went to Cleveland to visit one of my buddies. He's actually working for NASA there, so it's pretty crazy. He's one of the smartest guys I know. And that was really fun seeing him and meeting his girlfriend and just kind of exploring the city. Went to a Christmas Story house / museum. I don't know if you guys knew that existed or not, but it does exist, based on the 1983 classic film, A Christmas Story. Now a classic. When it first came out, it was actually quite a flop. It got pretty bad reviews from what they were saying, and it wasn't until 1997 when Warner Brothers bought it from MGM, and they started doing the 24 Hours of A Christmas Story, and the rest is history from there. A couple of things that I learned while on this tour was that they had three of the leg lamps for props. So they had one that was broken, obviously, and had the glue all over it. And then they had two other ones, but they didn't keep any of those leg lamps from the movie for safekeeping or anything like that. They were tossed out because they didn't think it was going to be that iconic with the film, that much of an icon in the film. They thought the Red Ryder BB gun would be better suited for merchandising and different things like that, if it ever came to that. And they tossed all of them out. So they don't have one of the leg lamps, original leg lamps, in the museum, which is crazy to me because that's one of the most popular things from that movie, is the leg lamp. And they probably had one in the window. And as we were walking up, you could see the glow of electric sex in the window, as they say in the movie. And that was an awesome experience. Like they even let you go down and hide underneath like the kitchen sink, like Randy did when Ralphie was in trouble. Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie. Got to reenact that. So that was a childhood moment of mine that was pretty awesome. That I got to live out there. Childhood dream that I got to live out. They had a lot of stuff in their gift shop. So many Christmas Story items that you couldn't even imagine. You can actually rent out one of the pink bunny suits that Ralphie had to wear. You can actually rent those. Otherwise, it's $100 to buy one of them, which is pretty steep if you ask me. But for the right person, it could be worth it. Also, they had leg lamp replicas, so they kind of varied in size. You could have a small one, like a little nightlight one, and go all the way up to the actual size one, which would run you about $180. So again, for the right person, it may be worth the price there, but not for this guy. I try to ball it on a budget as much as I can, and that's not balling on a budget if you're buying a $180 leg lamp. Rest of the tour was pretty cool. They showed us like this fire truck. It wasn't the actual one from the movie. It was one that somebody tried to make a replica of the one that was in the movie, and they did a really good job. The one that was actually used in the movie was from a fire department in Canada. And if you look closely in the film, you can actually see where it says Chippewa on the top instead of, I think it's called Huron, or not Huron, something Indiana. I forget the name of it right now. Forgive me, all you diehard Christmas Story fans, where it's like, oh, it's definitely this word. It's escaping my mind right now. But it's, if you look really closely in the movie, you can see where it says the wa in Chippewa on the top. So they hide it pretty well, but if you look really closely, it says Chippewa on the top there for the fire department emblem. So look for that little Easter egg next time you're watching A Christmas Story. Hopefully it's not here for a while now, because hopefully the snow holds off. Not ready for that yet. I know some of you snowmobilers are ready. Some of you skiers are ready for that snow to fall again, but I'm just not ready for it yet. Another cool thing they had, the Oldsmobile, the old man's Oldsmobile, where Ralphie said, oh fudge, but except he didn't say fudge kind of thing. They had that car there, so that was pretty cool to see as well. They had a lot of different items, and it was really interesting to go to. Highly recommend, if you're ever in the Cleveland area, checking it out, a Christmas Story house and museum, and get your Christmas Story fix there. As we were kind of walking over there, we had to walk over this overpass, and it was like these weird colored tiled, the bridge, the whole bridge was kind of weirdly colored. It was like blue and orange, and looked like a very ghetto version of Candyland that we were playing, because it was all graffitied on the way there. And I'm not to knock on Cleveland, because they already get knocked on enough, but like the city itself isn't that visually appealing. It's not one of those places where, yeah, let's get a ton of pictures here, we're in Cleveland. Like my buddy's girlfriend and I, because my buddy had to work, we went to the museum together, and we said Cleveland's motto is good enough. That's basically the conclusion we were able to come to, because it's still functioning. There are some functioning things in Cleveland, but at the same time, it is it's pretty rough shape. But so Cleveland was great. We went to this place to eat called Fat Cats, and it really reminded me a lot of like a Cleveland version of the Angry Minnow. Now, I'm sure most of you have been to the Angry Minnow before and kind of know their menu and things like that. But that's definitely the vibe I got from Fat Cats. Server we had was really personable, pretty chill guy. He like sat down on the seat next to us and just started talking with us about where we were from and kind of everything like that. I mean, it was pretty slow, so he really didn't have that much else to do, but it was still kind of cool. And then he invited us up to the bar, and we sat next to these people from the area. We just started talking about life and different things like that. And I don't know, this guy was trying to give me like the carpe diem, seize the day kind of advice. I was like, all right, yeah, I can pick up on that. Just because I was only in Cleveland for a couple of days, so he was telling me to do all this stuff. Go catch a game. Go do this. Go do this. And I was like, all right, yeah. I just love running into people when they have that kind of energy. It's like, yeah, that's really inspirational. I don't know. I think there just needs to be more people like that in the world, and just kind of trying to inspire other people around you to do stuff that they maybe wouldn't normally do unless they had that little bit of a push. I mean, now all within reason. I'm not saying you got to do crazy, crazy things, but just try to step out of your comfort zone a little bit more, and you'll be amazed at what you see happen from that, and the experiences that you have from that. I mean, it's not much, but we tried pickle beer that day. Pickle beer goes really well with a burger. Try it. You'll have to try it sometime. But yeah, Fat Cats in Cleveland is great. If you ever get a chance, stop by there, and you'll be able to compare it to Angry Minnow. My heart is still with Angry Minnow, don't get me wrong, but Fat Cats is a nice second place as far as the dining experience goes. So we didn't really go to too many other places to eat. We kind of tried to cook at home as much as we could because it wasn't, I mean, it's not, the neighborhood that my buddy lived in was kind of for like mostly established people that had pretty high paying jobs. So the places within walking distance were kind of high priced. We did stop by this one place the first night I was in town. It was called Fahrenheit. Did not know we were going to this fancy of a restaurant, but we kind of made the impulse decision to. And I was wearing my Big Three Homes hat and a Nintendo 64 t-shirt, and was wearing jeans. And everybody else was pretty much dressed to the nines there, and I definitely felt like an outsider. Maybe this is why our order took way longer than it should have. I'm not sure. They're like, well, we're not going to get tipped well anyways. I try to be a good tipper when I go out. I try to. I mean, I always have the mindset, like, if I don't have enough to tip well, then I shouldn't be going out. That's just the way I live my life. I don't know if you share the same values as I do, but that's my mindset. If I don't have enough to tip well, then I'm not going out. And, but yeah, they... they must have felt like we weren't going to tip them that well, because they were definitely really slow with their stuff. Even the bread. But enough about that. It was really good. The food was really good. Service a little slow. They were a little bit busy. I understand. Totally get it. But I had these like sushi roll things. And I'm not a big... No, shrimp roll. Shrimp roll, that's what it was. And I'm normally like, I'll get stuff that I'm used to eating. I'll get a burger. I'll get a pizza. Maybe some fish, something like that. The traditional stuff. So I kind of went out into my comfort zone there. And ended up getting the shrimp roll thing. And it was really good. Just trying to open up my taste buds to different experiences, I guess. But as far as the food goes, Cleveland food is pretty good. Can't complain. Travel wasn't too bad either. Traffic was pretty light for the most part. I mean, I got in there at the right times. Didn't have to worry about too much of rush hour or anything like that. So thankfully that didn't happen. I was also worried that that I wouldn't be able to find a parking spot or something like that, but that was pretty easy as well. So my time spent in Cleveland was good. Spent my night sleeping on a yoga mat that we, air quotes around here, borrowed from the weight room that they had in the basement of their apartment complex. That wasn't too bad. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. So that was a Cleveland experience. Then I went off to Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Pittsburgh's only about 2-hour drive from Cleveland. So if you're already in the Cleveland area, might as well go to Pittsburgh, right? So drove to Pittsburgh. Didn't really know what to expect. Punched in the destination that I wanted to go to. Bermani Brothers sandwiches. Heard a lot of good things about them. Saw them on Man vs. Food. Said, I need to stop here while I'm in Pittsburgh. So made the stop. And it was really good. I didn't really know what to expect, but for $8, you get a lot of food. It's like this big hunk of bread, like a steak kind of burger. You get coleslaw on the burger, as well as French fries. And there's this sauce you can put on it as well. So you basically have your whole meal there, and it's only $8. And they make it pretty quickly and right in front of your eyes, so you can all see how it happens and get to enjoy that experience too. And Pittsburgh is pretty much everything the movies and the stereotypes have made it out to be. I'm pretty sure everybody walking in Pittsburgh had a hard hat on and a lunch pail in their hands. Like, it was definitely what I was expecting, and it was awesome. There was railroad cars going through the city, smokestacks from the Heinz factory were off in the distance, and it was pretty majestic, I'd say. I mean, like, to me, I don't know. I just like that blue collar vibe, you know? Not all skyscrapers and all those different kind of things, but just like the people. The people is why you go to these certain places, I think. But went there, walked around a little bit, went to some food markets, smelt some flowers, did all that good stuff. And then I traveled over to this one souvenir shop. Well, I'm obviously a diehard Packer fan. Green and gold till I'm dead and cold. But, I mean, I figured while I was in Pittsburgh, I had to get a souvenir. So I got a terrible towel. Not proud of it, but, I mean, it was just one of those things. It was like, well, need to get something to remember this trip by. And then I got a Pittsburgh Penguins hat, because I need more hats. If any of you know me, I'm a big hat guy. Not like a top hat, but like, I have a large collection of hats, and it was pretty cool to add another one to the collection there. The lady gave me a really good price on it too, because the price was kind of covered up by another sticker. She's like, does this work for you? I'm like, yeah, sure. That I think that's like $10 less than what it should be, but okay. And she was really nice. People in Pittsburgh are really nice. People in Cleveland were pretty nice, the people that I ran into. And I think that's one of the greatest things about traveling, is you hear all these misconceptions, I think, of people before you even go on this journey, or go on the journey that you want to. Like, oh, people in this town are always like this. And I think the same can be said for our area too. Like, if people have one bad experience with somebody from Hayward that they think, like, oh, all these people are like this. And that's not the case. And it's just awesome when you can gain new perspectives when you travel. I found that out. I didn't think, like, a three-day vacation wasn't going to change my life. I knew that. But it definitely changed my perspective. And just learning from different people and not being afraid to just strike up a conversation with a stranger has been really important, because if any of you knew me, like, growing up or throughout high school, I was a pretty quiet guy for the most part. Didn't really do a whole lot outside of the regular school and sports and stuff like that, kind of kept to myself. But college and I think traveling has really opened me up to just meeting different people and not being afraid to strike up a conversation with a stranger, and kind of just not being afraid to just experience different things. And so that's one of the things that I learned about myself throughout this trip, is just being able to do those things that maybe I wouldn't have done 5 or 6 years ago. And just traveling in general, just being able to put the car in drive and just go there was a huge step for me, because to be honest with you guys, I didn't think my car was going to make it there. I have over 215,000 miles on my Dodge Caliber, and it gave me troubles all winter long. And it didn't, I was stranded at my mom's house for like 3 days because the car battery was terrible, and it was tough to work on in like negative 30 degree weather. Thankfully, I had my dad come through in the clutch for me and really help me out. So, Dad, if you're listening to this, thanks, Pops. And I didn't know how much really the trip was going to cost. I know I had gas was going to cost a certain amount, so I budgeted for that. And I didn't think tolls were going to cost as much as they did, but they came up. And so that's one of the things that you got to be prepared for, is tolls when you travel. And I guess I tried to budget as much as I could for food and then other kind of fun money expenses and things like that. But I didn't know how much this trip was going to cost. And I know it's... whatever your budget, I think you're able to travel to a certain extent. Like, you can cut back on certain things in order to put money away for a trip. There are multiple different ways you can cut out spending that you have in order to finance a trip. And it's always like that. One day I'll visit there. One day I'll do this. One day I'll start saving money now. And then that one day will come a lot sooner. And you'll get to experience all that stuff and then be like, oh, I wish I would have gone here when I was this age. I wish I would have done that. Start putting money away now and start budgeting for that and take that trip. I made this impulse decision to take this trip about a week ago. I said, well, I'm already going to Milwaukee for a Brewer game. Might as well visit my buddy in Cleveland while I'm at it and then go to Pittsburgh and then swing back home. Not too long of a vacation because, I've got other obligations of DJing and stuff like that, but take a chance and take a trip, and it's definitely going to benefit you in some way, whether that's just one experience that you have with one person that you meet along the way, or multiple experiences, or just the being visually seeing things and just being aesthetically pleasing. I know I'm kind of going on rambling here, but I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this Northern Nerd Podcast solo edition. Involving my big adventure out east. Well, not really out east, but eastern Midwest. And thank you for listening. If you like this podcast, go over to the Northern Nerd, like our page, follow us, do whatever you got to do. Follow us on Instagram at it's like _ the Northern Nerd and then another _. And just tell your friends about us. We appreciate it. We're a community of creators coming together to bring you the best of the Northwoods. We got more stuff on the way. We got short videos coming. We also got more game reviews, what's happening down at the Whistlepunk, updates weekly. We also have For the Foodies with my sister Allie. She's been kind of traveling around the Hayward area and other places like that in the Northwoods, and she's getting food reviews out there. She's having a great time doing that. We also have JD doing some game reviews. So if you're into gaming or you know someone that's into gaming, send them over to his All Thumbsticks articles. Great stuff. This past week he just talked about player type theory and how you go about playing the games that you do and why you select the games that you do. So that was a really interesting read, and he knows his stuff. He's been an avid gamer for a long time, so we go over and check out his stuff on All Thumbsticks. Also, check out our local artists, local articles being submitted, our community calendar. There's always events that we're sharing on our page. And, thank you for supporting the Northern Nerd thus far. We appreciate it. And we look forward to interacting with you, seeing you on the street, and all that kind of different things. Thanks for listening.